tape one, side one, National Council of Jewish Women, oral history number two. Today is June 23rd, and we are interviewing Jane Arcus in her office. In her office, Burson Marceller at 1 Gateway Center. I am Mildred Menlo, and with my partner, Ruth Weiner, we are conducting this interview. Jane Arcus, we are interested in your family background. Will you tell us something about yourself and your family?
My father was Dr. Werner Kallman, who was an internist, chief of medicine at Allegheny General Hospital and at Montefiore Hospital. He was born in Old Allegheny. His parents came to Pittsburgh. I don't recall the exact year, but it was somewhere around after the Civil War, and lived on the north side in Allegheny.
Where did they come from?
And they came from Germany. And they were Bertha Kallman and Bernard Kallman. My father was Werner B. Had two brothers, Irvin Kallman, who now lives in Cleveland, and Clarence Kallman, who died several years ago. My mother, Florence Madeline Schoenthal, was born in Little Washington, Washington, PA, where she still has some family. Her parents moved shortly after she was born to New York, where my maternal grandfather was the head of the china and glass importing operation for Gimbel's department stores. So she spent most of her youth in New York.
Where did her parents come from?
And her parents, let's see, her mother's, her maiden name was Silverman, and they came from Pittsburgh. So it was a kind of convoluted thing, but where they, I can't go too far back there, because I have never kept quite straight in my head, but they lived in Pittsburgh. And I'm sorry, I got that wrong. Her mother's parents were from Pittsburgh. Her mother was Irma Schoenthal, her father Lee Schoenthal. And Lee Schoenthal came from Little Washington. So I'm afraid I got that a little bollocks
right.
up. My mother grew up mostly, as I said, in New York City. Was a student at the Ethical Culture School, and had a very liberal education up to the point of college. She did not go to college because her education was continued in travels with her father to Europe, and she had quite a sophisticated upbringing in that respect, because her father did take her traveling around to all the major capitals of Europe, where she became an art student. Did most of her studies in Paris, learned to speak a little French, and absorbed quite a bit of what goes on in the world. Going back to my father's family, his parents, his father, Bernard Kallman, and his mother came from Germany, and my father's father, my grandfather, held a position similar to that of the cavalier at Rotoshalom Temple. Now, I don't know what they called it at the time, whether it was executive secretary, shamus, but that's what he was at Rotoshalom.
Interesting.
And let's see, where would you like me to go from there?
Now, let's go to you.
I was born in Pittsburgh in 1929 and grew up in Pittsburgh. I have lived here all of my life, with the exception of 4 years spent away at college. I went to Vassar College. Came back understanding that I probably wasn't equipped to write the great American novel, but I did want to put to use some skills that I had developed in communications, writing, and immediately started to pound the pavement. After spending a summer working with a friend on a children's book and listening to the radio all the time that I was writing and helping illustrate the book, I was thinking, I can do that, when I listened to the radio commercials that came pounding at me all day long, and sought my first job with a radio station here. Got it. Was told that my job was to pick up information from the salesmen who were combing the downtown area, selling time on their station to Pittsburgh merchants. I was to take the material that the salesman came in with off the street, write a commercial fast, hand it to the announcer, who would read it on the air. Because of those requirements, it was assumed that I could type my own material and rip it off the typewriter and feed it to the announcer. They quickly learned that I couldn't type, and I was fired after one day on the job.
What station was that?
That was, the Ethnic State, WPIT.
Before we go further into your commercial life, mm-hmm. I want a little more background on your years of growing up, your family life. What was the religious atmosphere in your home, the economic atmosphere, the disciplines? Were you involved in organizations and things of that sort?
Siblings?
Yes. I was. I have a brother, Jim, who's 3 years younger than I am, who was born. Well, when I was born, we lived in Moorwood Gardens, which was the apartment where my parents settled when they were married. Incidentally, going back to my parents, my father was introduced to my mother through my mother's second cousin, Tilly Spire, whom you may know. And ironically, it was Tilly who introduced me and my husband. That comes much later. But so I spent the first 3 years of my life in Moorwood Gardens. I think it was a lovely, I guess rather privileged childhood. I was brought up in a very happy home with by parents who were very much engaged in this world, who were very much part of their community, whose interests were broad and who communicated those interests to me and my brother. We started early as readers and were exposed to good music constantly and taken to museums, and education was at a premium in our household. As a Jewish household, we were a Reform household. I would say not the most observant in his own way. My father was a deeply religious man, as a medical man, because he was always awed by the mysteries of the world and our origins and the orchestration of our lives, and what he and his experiences in medicine, the miracles he witnessed. So he was a believer in his own way, and a very close friend of the rabbi of the congregation, Dr. Solomon Freehoff, was a family friend and took part a little bit in our upbringing, in that he was a frequent guest for dinner and an imparter of wisdom. I hope I'm not jumping around too much, but this is rather stream of consciousness.
Good. It's wonderful.
My brother and I both went to the Whiteman School. We both had very happy experiences there. At that time, I think we were very fortunate. Our generation grew up in a rather circumscribed society. We made friends quickly and closely with the children of our parents' friends. was a close-knit group with and supportive group that remains supportive because so many of the people I grew up with stayed in the community. I think that's not so true today. Their children are going far afield. I grew up surrounded by close friends, had a very happy life at Whiteman School. The usual somewhat troubled adolescence, but not seriously troubled. In that, all of a sudden, social demands reared their ugly head, and I was while academically secure and while not aggressive, secure and reasonably confident, I was not so confident socially. The group that I grew up with, of course, had the requisite dancing class, which I attended, followed by indoctrination in the social fraternities and sororities. I was a Sigma Omega Pi. I was somewhat skeptical and distrustful of the institution of the sorority, because I was brought up in a liberal family, and my father particularly was troubled by the restrictiveness of the sororities and the fraternities. I went to Taylor Alderdice High School after Whiteman School for two grades only, and my parents, who were struggling at the end of the Depression, sat up all one night while my mother persuading my father to send me to Winchester Thurston for a variety of reasons. For one thing, my friends were going there, but for another, education, the level of education, the quality of education, was quite uneven at Taylor Alderdice at the time. In grades of the upper school, I think it was quite strong, but in the seventh and eighth grade level, my English class focused on teaching you how to write a thank you letter, a condolence letter, and a good sales talk. And they felt that, my parents felt that I should have something better than that. So I entered the hallowed environs of Winchester Thurston, which young Jewish women were just beginning to break into, I understand, because of the spade work of Leon Fulk in the late 30s.
Did you have any affiliation with Sunday school or confirmation or anything at the temple?
Yes, I went to Sunday school, was confirmed at 16, and again, as the product of a relatively non-observant home, I didn't take it too seriously. Although I was certainly brought up to be very proud of my identity, so it was just where I think my family drew the line was observance, but they did see to it that we kids were exposed to the major ceremonies of the year, and we did have a Seder, and which we enjoyed very much. And my brother got quite red-eared over the wine. We had a Seder, we had a Hanukkah, we also had a Christmas, a secular Christmas. But again, I think that was rampant in the group I grew up in. We were assimilated in that respect as observing the major holidays of the year as secular holidays.
Were there any, for particular individuals, in your school or temple or any of your affiliates that had any marked influence on the direction in which you were going?
Of course, we all have teachers, I think, whom we can cite as major influences. And while that wasn't so much true at Alderdice, it was certainly true at Winchester. Ms. Mary A. Graham Mitchell, who was the venerable headmistress of the school, was an austere presence, a disciplinarian, but a highly educated woman who instilled enormous respect for educational values, at least in some of us. I had an English teacher, Mary Philpott, a very sensitive woman who was in love with the language and in love with the great practitioners of the great writers. And so I really ate up my English courses. We were introduced in depth to the, particularly the English writers and Shakespeare. And I did my own illustrated version of the Canterbury Tales under Miss Philpott's inspiration. And I acted in a number of Shakespearean plays, and I orated the Friends Roman countryman speech over the supposedly dead body of Caesar, who was Aline Lang, who was in my class. Aline Rom Lang. I have told, there's one story about Winchester that I suppose is, as long as this is, this information I suppose will only be revealed posthumously, if ever.
This is all confidential information.
Who is exposed to the oral history, and when?
It is for the archives, and we have two young women who will review this, and I'm sure they will find it wanting because you're being very generous with your information, just to review to make sure that they have a complete history of you and your family, and they will be held in the archives.
I see.
It's to gather as fine a background as they can of early Jewish families who came to Pittsburgh and have a coherent history.
Well, I guess I had mentioned that when I went to Winchester, it hadn't been too long before that the Jewish girls were being sought, or if not being sought, we were not being sought for the school, but we were allowed easier, we were given easier entry than had historically been true. But, and I formed a lot of friends among the non-Jewish girls, as well as close friends among the Jewish girls I grew up with. I became very active in school activity and was elected editor of the school yearbook. I had been the resident artist, had created a character, Winnie Winchester, for the school, who was sort of a spokesman in the school publications, a spokesman for the students, and I understand she still exists. And, well, I know she still exists.
Do you have a copy of it, by any chance?
Oh, I have my old yearbooks with Winnie drawings, yes. In my senior year, when I was made editor of the yearbook, I appointed as my art editor a girl who was a more talented artist than I, and a good friend, Nancy Fink, who was one of my close friends growing up in the community, Clarence and Ruth Fink's daughter, and was brought before Miss Mitchell, or rather summoned by Miss Mitchell, who then subjected me to one of the most awkward conversations I have ever had. She said that it was awkward for her and would undoubtedly be for me, but that the board of directors was quite disturbed at the preponderance of Jewish leaders in the class, and that they were considerably disturbed that I had in the august position of editor of the yearbook appointed an art editor who was also a Jewish girl, and that they frowned upon that, and she would like me to reconsider that appointment. I must say I weakened. After going home to talk about it with my family, I think we were all bending over backwards not to make waves, not to stand out too much, not to be pushy. And while principle dictated, stand by your guns and keep Nancy Fink art director, another kind of principle said, don't by doing this make it tough on other Jewish girls who will come
that.
Along. We all went through that. Yeah. So I did succumb, and I'm embarrassed to say that in my later years, but I did succumb. And And there were tears shed, of course, by Nancy, by me, by Nancy's mother. And after that, I never had quite the same feeling about Miss Mitchell, although I had great affection for the school because it treated me very well and gave me a very solid education that turned out to be to give me an edge when I entered the freshman year at Vassar. The Winchester trained girls were trained better than a lot of the private school girls with whom I entered. So that's a digression, but
that's interesting.
The Winchester experience was mostly very, very rewarding, and getting away from the competitive environment with boys academically at a time when girls who were interested in academics, as I was, because I think primarily because of my father, when girls felt constrained to speak up at an Alderdice or co-ed institution. So the women's institution gave me a chance to assert myself and do well, and I have felt I've been quite an advocate of women's education for women ever since, although in the best of all possible worlds it should probably be co-ed. Let's see, where should we go?
Then you went to a Vassar. After all of this growing up, you left home and went to Vassar.
Left home and went to Vassar, and that was a dash of cold water because, of course, at Winchester one could be a star in this relatively intimate environment, and all of a sudden I was plunged into a freshman class of a whole bunch of stars and was very uncomfortable for my first one. During my first year there, it took a couple of years to get used to being one of many who could produce in the classroom. But I grew to like it very much and to respect it very much. I had wonderful exposure to cluster of extremely gifted people who were my teachers and who have gone on to write the definitive, some of them write the definitive textbooks in their field. So I had some memorable teachers there. I made some close friends there. Mostly my closest friends were Jewish girls. And because once, although we had broken the barrier a little at Winchester, even socially, where the two crowds commingled, as long as boys and girls did not commingle, but Jewish boys and girls as couples and Gentile boys and girls as couples could come together and have an easy relationship when I was at Winchester. At Vassar, it was a little different. The lines were more sharply drawn. And you didn't socialize on the weekends with your non-Jewish friends. They went off to their own crowds or to the hunt or...
Did you find any definitive anti-Semitism?
Definitive is the word. It was there, but it was not obtrusive. I was never confronted directly with it, but I sensed, again, the whole social climate made you sense that we can be friends in the classroom and we can be friends in the dormitory, but we can't be friends beyond that. We can't be friends on the weekends. And that, of course, has all changed now. I think there's a great deal more interaction between the, to the point where intermarriage is
rampant.
Is rampant, and that's very disturbing. But I had, through my mother's and father's close associations with good friends in New York, I had surrogate family there, which was wonderful for me. I could go in from Poughkeepsie to New York on the weekend always and have a home to stay in. In the home I stayed usually, which was Richard and C.B. Bloom, he was the head of Saks 34th Street in New York, having gone to New York from Pittsburgh, where he was the head of Gimbel's. He was the head of Gimbel's here before Steve, having a mental lapse, Osterweis. A long succession of distinguished heads of Gimbel's who were part of the community I grew up in, and so when the Blooms moved to New York, they remained aunt and uncle, and I dated their two sons through my college years, and they in turn introduced me to other boys at their colleges and to their friends in New York, so I had a very active social life outside of the college on weekends as well as in Pittsburgh. I left out Camp Fernwood, which was a major, major experience. Maybe as important to me as Winchester was to me in the growing up years as a builder of confidence. This was a camp in Maine, run by some people that my mother's family had been friendly with in New York, also named Bloom, but not the same Bloom. I had five or so very happy years at Fernwood, being editor of the yearbook and team captain, and loving the outdoor life, making very close friends, and participating because it was a camp that was run with a great deal of emphasis on cultural life, in addition to swimming and tennis and baseball and campfires. You had major pianists coming up who were related to the girls in camp. A man named Pecek from Czechoslovakia, whose daughters were at the camp and whose family had fled from the Nazis. So he was doing his concertizing. It was in around the camp circuit when he first came to America. Although he had been a major concertizer in Europe. It was that kind of environment. The Blooms were educators, and so we did a great deal of, we had a great deal of music, and we had a great deal of group reading and play acting and discussion periods, and it was a very rich experience. A lot of fun.
Sounds like a very happy...
I was very lucky.
It does take a great deal of luck.
It does. It does.
When you left college, you came back to Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Were you active politically in any way?
Yes. I got involved years and years ago, early in my career with... John Tabor's first run for city council, not for the mayoralty. I got very involved in his run for the mayoralty because we were handling the advertising. And when I came back to Pittsburgh, I got involved in a lot of, beyond my job, a lot of extracurricular work. Community volunteerism. I was a member of course, early on, we were all members of the council, and I wasn't so terribly active in the Jewish organizations, although I did some volunteer work, but my main interest was in the arts and theater organizations, and I became heavily involved at the Pittsburgh Playhouse at the time. I don't know whether you recall when Bill Ball's American Conservatory...
Of course. What a terrible loss to us.
It was a terrible loss, and I felt very useful for a while because I was one of a very small group that were the chief instigators for bringing him here and fought ardently to keep him here and lost that cause. But through that association... I met a lot of wonderful people who provided a springboard to involvement in other organizations, arts organizations in town, and in politics. on the board at the time was Ingrid Ray, who's a venerable member of the Pittsburgh establishment, but extremely active in civic affairs and cultural affairs, and through the association on the Playhouse board, meeting Ingrid and other, quote, older people who were involved themselves, that was an entree to getting involved in other ways. Ingrid got me involved in the Tabor for Council, for City Council campaign, for example. My mother was very involved herself in the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra Women's Association, and I was immediately brought into that, and she was on the Women's Committee of the Museum of Art, and I was immediately brought into that. It was a mother-daughter legacy. As well as, of course, Mother was on council and Mother was on sisterhood, and she was involved in all those things. I confined my heavy activity mostly to the symphony and to the museum. Symphony and museum involvement actually came before the Playhouse. My major extracurricular involvement happened to be as the temporary fulfillment of my secret ambition was to write the Great American Musical Review. So for
and
I'm running
side
on.
One.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Tape one continued on side two.